Time now is 3 o'clock, the temperature 15 degrees. This is WCCO, Minneapolis and St. Paul at 830. Good afternoon. This is Bill Deal, and I'm going to repeat a bulletin that we had on our air here on CCO Radio just moments ago. Longtime sportscaster Halsey Hall died this afternoon in a St. Louis Park home. The 79-year-old Hall was a veteran sportscaster here at CCO Radio, his career here spanning many, many years. He worked in the newspaper industry, writing sports columns prior to entering broadcasting, during his broadcasting career, and after his retirement from WCCO Radio. Halsey Hall had worked for the St. Paul Pioneer Press and Dispatch and the Minneapolis Star and Tribune. WCCO Radio is now going to present a special program on Halsey Hall. Halsey Lewis Hall was one of those rare Midwestern individuals who could be called a transplanted New Yorker. A native of New York City, Halsey made his home in Minneapolis for well over half a century, a rather fortunate circumstance for both Halsey and our city. Minneapolis enjoyed his many talents, and his aversion to heights made him a poor resident of Gotham and its towering skyscrapers. He prepped at Central High. After a stint in the Navy in World War I, Halsey Hall took his first sports job. It was on the Morning Tribune under Fred Coburn and Charlie Johnson. Newspaper blood runs deep in the Hall family. His father, Smith D. Hall, was a prominent Minneapolis newspaper man. Grandfather, Halsey R. W., worked on commercial publications, and great-uncle Harley P. Hall was a co-founder of the St. Paul Dispatch. Halsey's mother, Mary Hall, appeared on the stage with the great E.H. Southern and later played heavy leads with the renowned Walter Hampton. In his more than 40 years of sports reporting, Halsey covered the Millers and the old Nicollet Park and reported World Series from Yankee Stadium and press boxes of other cities where the classic of baseball has been played. Several of his World Series reporting gems have been included in the annual selection of Best of Sports Stories of the Year. And he also covered local hockey in its heyday. He reported Gopher football and Laker basketball. He had been one of the voices of the Minnesota Twins since Big League came to the Twin Cities. Halsey began a third of a century of radio broadcasting back in the Crystal Set days. He was one of the first to review sports over the air in the Twin Cities, over WLAG, the Call of the North, the station that's the forerunner of the present WCCO radio. Halsey Hall earned the Holy Cow moniker early in his radio work. That picturesque expression slipped out during a baseball broadcast. It remained to become his trademark. Endowed with an incredible memory, Halsey Hall, who died today, could give you the scores of Gopher football games played more than a quarter of a century ago, most likely adding the halftime score. He was an authority on football and baseball rules. In days past, he was a top referee, blowing his whistle for high school games and college, and also national professional football games, along with umpiring baseball. Long recognized as the top master of ceremonies in this area, Halsey's adroit handling of festive affairs, especially baseball dinners, made him much in demand. Halsey played a good game of bridge, and he also enjoyed travel. He was a former president of the American Association of Baseball Writers and of the American Association of Hockey Writers. With his wife, Sula, the Halls resided at 3231 Alabama Avenue in St. Louis Park, where his three grandchildren, William Halsey, Catherine Sula, and Cynthia Eugenia, all members of the Suzanne Hall and William Kennedy family, took over at the drop of a hat. Halsey has had many deserved honors, but best honor of all, he was always able to number his friends into the thousands. Maybe you remember way back when Halsey Hall broadcast the play-by-play of the Minneapolis Millers baseball games. Well, here's Halsey recreating his very first such assignment.
Yes, sir, ladies and gentlemen, it's a beautiful sunny afternoon out here at Nicollet today. While the teams are changing sides, let me run down again through the Miller lineup. At first base is Joe Hauser. Everyone's wondering if he can duplicate or come close to last year's all-time feat of 69 home runs. At second base, Andy Cohen. At shortstop, Leo Norris. At third base, Babe Gansel. In the outfield from left to right, Ab Wright, Spencer Harris, and Buzz Arlett. And down there now in the bullpen, in case the Milwaukee Brewers get tough, are Walt Tauscher and Rosie Ryan. Ryan's back after a year in the big leagues 2 years ago, you know. He set an association record by appearing in 60 games, mostly in relief. All right, the Brewers are set. The pitcher is Lou Polly, who throws three quarters overhand. He's a right-hander. They sometimes call him Line Drive Polly because of the enthusiastic way that the boys lay the hickory to his offerings. Just the same, he's pitched a 10-inning no-hit game, and there weren't too many line drives that time. Polly's getting set now to face the first hitter, Andy Cohen, in the first inning. Andy's twisting his cap, wiping his hands on his pants, tapping the plate, adjusting his belt. Now he licks his fingers, rubs them off. He does everything. Here's the pitch. Ball one outside. The infield stays normal for Andy. So does the outfield, moving in just a little bit. He hit 10 homers at Buffalo once, and he can't get over it. The pitch, and it's a line drive single right over the shortstop's head. Ab Wright's coming up. Big Ab, he looks every inch the tough guy. The outfielders start scratching their backs on the fences now. The pitch, Ab pops it up. Lynn Storti's under it at second and grabs it. One out, the singling Cohen on first, and here's Joe Hauser. Unser Cho handling that bat like an overfed girl handling a toothpick. They shift to the right on Joe. Polly looks at first, comes in, and holy cow, that one's gone. Way out to right. Looks like it will clear Nicollet Avenue. Yep, it does. Here comes Cohen around, and old Cho's off again as the Millers lead 2-0.
Holy cow, that one's gone. And now, holy cow, Halsey Hall is gone, dead this afternoon at the age of 79. Halsey Hall's stories are legion and have become legends. For Halsey, recalling who pitched, what inning of relief, in which city, for what team, back in 1931, was as easy as telling you a street address. And all Halsey Hall ever needed to cover a game was a cup of water and some cigars and a few onions to nibble on and a microphone. Let's listen now as he shared a few memories.
I was born in New York City and went to school, came out to the Twin Cities very young, and I went to school in St. Paul at the old Maxfield School. It was on the corner of Rondo and St. Albans. And then graduated grade school from Madison in Minneapolis and went to Minneapolis Central High. And I took a little work at the university in narration and description, writing under Mary Ellen Chase, incidentally, who became quite famous. I didn't have any brothers or sisters. Everybody practically on my mother's side was on the stage. And on my dad's side was a newspaper man. My great-great-uncle, H.P. Hall, I think helped found the St. Paul Dispatch. And my dad was a newspaper man. My grandfather was a newspaper man. And as I say, my mother played with E.H. Southern many times, and she was a leading lady for Walter Hampton. She played with both of those fine Shakespearean actors. And then when we came out here, let's see, how long have I lived in the Twin Cities? Well, never mind. We'll skip that. But it was a lot of fun, and my dad was on the, he was on almost every paper, but at the time of his death, he was a publicity man. He was sort of a freelance publicity man.
That deep-throated, infectious, contagious, rolling chuckle of Halsey Hall's, that rich voice, that easy style. Much in evidence, even in that little chat, the charm and the personality of the beloved Halsey Hall, dead today at the age of 79. Halsey was once asked how long he had loved the game of baseball.
Ever since my dad spanked me to take to a ball game, he was insisting his son wouldn't be a sissy and not like baseball, and I was 11 years old, and he gave me a licking and took me, and then he'd had to lick me to keep me away. I just loved it from the start.
Halsey, ever ready with a story, and always a good supply of them, even concerning himself. In his last years, Halsey Hall was a baseball ambassador of goodwill for our Minnesota Twins, whom he followed with watchful concern and with pride. As I said a few moments ago, Halsey Hall stories are legion. For example, a few years ago, Halsey was on WCCO Radio doing a Twins broadcast. I'll never forget it. It was bat day. Bat day. Now, the thumping of the bats on the Met Stadium floors can set up a deafening racket.
Number six, right fielder, Tony Oliva.
And there were the bats banging away on the floors of Met Stadium, bat day. Well, it fell to Halsey Hall to read a commercial just when the bat thumpers went to work again. WCCO radio listeners got a chuckle when Halsey rose to the occasion, rose to the challenge, and so did his voice.
The average family needs 150 gallons of hot water a day, and they often run out. Not with the oil water heater. It actually produces hot water much faster than your family can use it and saves you money in the bargain. You can depend on it. The amazing economy and efficiency of oil heat is the secret. So when you build or when you replace a worn-out water heater, get the complete story on the oil water heater from any member of the Northwest Heating Oil Council.
Halsey Hall doing a commercial on Bat Day. And we sit here and we chuckle and we smile and we laugh through our tears. I'm going to repeat the earlier bulletin. Longtime sportscaster Halsey Hall died this afternoon at his St. Louis Park home. The 79-year-old Hall, a veteran sportscaster here at WCCO Radio, one of your top favorites for many, many years. And, of course, no stranger to newspaper readers in the Twin Cities either. He had worked for the Minneapolis Star and Tribune, and also for the St. Paul Pioneer Press and Dispatch. Halsey Hall, dead at 79. Later on, we'll have other special programming commemorating Halsey Hall. So much a part of your life, and our life, and the family of WCCO Radio. Al Martino on a Saturday in CCO land in the next 100 years, 19 minutes after 3 o'clock, and no change in that temperature, the new reading show, 15 degrees. Well, Charlie Johnson, are you there?
Very good. Yes, I am.
Charlie, this is Bill Deal on CCO Radio, and for many, many years, I don't know how many years, you and Halsey, part of the Twin Cities journalism family together, and you must have a wealth of Halsey Hall memories and stories to share. The shocking news, the sad news today, that Halsey passed away this afternoon at the age of 79. He was spry right up to the end, wasn't he, Charlie?
Yes, he was. I saw him just 2 weeks ago at dinner with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was emceeing a roast dinner that night. And in good spirits and looked exceptionally fine. He'd made quite a recovery physically in the last 2 years, and was really getting around great. And so, to me, it was quite a shock because he looked so healthy the last time I saw him.
He was at our WCCO Radio Christmas party just shortly before Christmas.
Is that so?
And he was sprightly and in good humor and very active that particular night. He certainly wasn't a sit-about or a stay-at-home, was he?
No, he wasn't. He was on the move all the time and was great to be out helping people emceeing for poor kids or almost anything. He'd do anything anybody called him to do.
Now, Charlie, your journalism career goes back a far piece. When did you first start writing sports?
Well, I was 1914.
And which paper was that for?
That was on the Tribune.
Uh-huh.
I had just moved into a cub reporter in 1914 after serving as an office boy there at the Tribune.
Uh-huh.
And I gave Halsey Hall his first job.
What year would that be about, Charlie?
Well, it was right at the end of the war, 1919.
Right after World War One.
Yeah, he was still in his Navy uniform, and he had come in. He'd been done a little work on the side while he was in the Navy for Finkelstein Rubin publicity.
Yes, that was the great old theater circuit here in the Twin Cities.
Yes, it was. And he came in and was looking for a job, and we were looking for people about that time. The war was over and everything, and we hired Halsey, and he came to work in his Navy uniform. And he kept that Navy uniform on until he had his first payday.
He didn't even have a suit of clothes, huh?
No, sir, he didn't. And I said, well, I'll see you. Why, haven't you got any clothes on? No, he said, this is all I've got, the Navy uniform.
Those were the days when there was a morning Tribune and an evening Tribune and a Sunday Tribune.
That's right.
And what was the Murphy family owned the paper at that time,
W.J. Murphy and the estate owned it. Then he came on in the sport desk. Fred Coburn was sports editor of the two papers at that time, and I was the sports editor of the morning paper.
I see.
And Halsey and I worked together. It was just a two-man staff. And we had a lot of fun together. Of course, in those days, I mean, sports were just beginning to develop. In those days, and of course, Halsey, his first love was baseball, and he said, "Well, all right, can I cover baseball?" And I said, "Well, you'll have to see Fred Coburn." I says, "He's the baseball writer around here," and his ambition was always to write baseball, and of course, he stayed with us for a while. I left in 1920 to go over to the Star, uh-huh. And he went over to the Pioneer Press. At that time.
About 1920?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he covered hockey. Matter of fact, I'll never forget, the Pioneer Press, I think, offered him $5 a week more than the Tribune would give him. And he came to me and said, "What'll I do?" I said, "Well, I can't get you the $5, so you better take the job if you want the money." Well, he was thinking about getting married about that time, and he went over there and started in on hockey. Just loved hockey. And did that as a coverage for the Pioneer Press for several years, and then he I forget the exact year, but he went to the Journal. I think Harry McKenna was sports editor at that time, or Ed Walker. Anyhow, he left the Pioneer Press because he always loved Minneapolis,
mm-hmm.
And went to the Journal and worked on the Journal for. From that time until we took him over again on the Star and Tribune in 1939, and he at the Journal covered baseball most of the time and hockey. I mean, he loved both sports.
Yeah. Now let's see, the Star Journal, 39. That would be the Star Journal. The Tribune was still an independent paper at that
time.
Yes,
it was. Yeah, it was separate, and the Coles had purchased the Journal.
Right.
And it became the Star Journal, and I'll never forget. I called Halsey, and I knew the night before what was going to happen, and we were hiring people from the Journal to go to work the next day. And Halsey was on his way to Lexington Park to cover the ball game that night. And I called him at home and said, "Halsey, I'd like to see you sometime this evening." Well, he says, "I've got to go to the baseball game in St. Paul."
Uh-huh.
Well, I said, "Halsey, this is very, very important. I'm going to be here all night. Can you come in after the ball game?" And he says, "What's up?" Well, I said, "I can't tell you because it hadn't been announced yet that the Coleses had purchased the Journal." And Halsey didn't know anything about it, mm-hmm. So he went on over. And while he was over there, of course, the word got around that the Journal was being closed the next day. And so Halsey came in, and they went to offer him a job. And he said, "Oh, sure, I'll go. I want baseball, though." And so we had Halsey from 1939 until the Twins came here. And all the time he was doing his radio programs, officiating, and doing his column. He had a column, "It's a Fact," or something like that.
Yeah, "It's a Fact" with Halsey Hall.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he was with us then until he had this opportunity to join WCCO in a baseball broadcast in 1961. And he came in to me and said, "What do you think?" I said, "Halsey, take it." I said, "You'll never be happy unless you try it at least once." I says, "If you wear out over there, come on back, and we'll find a spot for you."
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, he never did, because he stayed there until he retired from radio. But he really loved baseball, and he loved the newspaper business, too, and watched it very closely. I mean, he never lost interest in the newspapers any more than he lost interest in baseball.
No, he went back to the Pioneer Press even after he had left the a Minneapolis Star, Journal, and Tribune, and wrote a column, I recall, called The Hall Closet.
Yeah, on Sundays.
On Sundays only.
Yeah, that's right.
And then even toward the end of his career, even after he'd left the Pioneer Press once again, he was still writing a column for one of the suburban papers. Or
yeah, that new paper out there in St. Louis Park.
Right.
He was doing that.
So he always had his typewriter warmed up and ready to go, and he never lost his interest in the game. I worked with Halsey Hall from time to time on Saturday sportscasts here on CCO Radio.
Yeah.
And that incredible memory of his, was that evident when you first met him way back there in the 19-teens, Charlie?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He got that from his father.
Is that right?
Yeah, his father had the greatest memory I ever saw in any human being.
Hmm.
And Halsey was just as good, if not better. And it didn't make a difference what the event was 20 years ago or 40 years
yeah.
ago. Halsey remembered it vividly and could tell you the details of it like nobody's business.
Well, he'd sit here and tell me about a game that had taken place in 1927, and the ball had bounced out on Nicollet Avenue there or something, and he'd say the count was 3-2, and then he threw this scorcher across, and the fella hit it right out of the park. And he'd come back 20 minutes later, and he said, "You know, I told you it was 3-2, it was 3-1. As if that made any difference, but he was such a stickler for the actual details. It was just incredible that he could reconstruct these games in his mind that way.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. He was so, you know, he had a lot of superstitions, too, you know. And if the Miller scored a run when he was standing in a certain place on the roof of the ballpark in Nicollet, uh-huh. he wouldn't move from there.
He wouldn't move.
You couldn't drag him in the press box. And he had a lot of those idiosyncrasies that you don't find too often in newspaper men. And then he had that other, you know, he'd scare us to death on that roof at Nicollet Park.
Yeah.
He'd start walking around and always with his finger in his ear doing something.
Agitated, too, about the way the fortunes of the team were down on the field.
Yeah, and he would scare us to death because we thought he was going to fall off that roof. He'd get beyond that screen, but he didn't, and he lived through it. He loved that broadcast in the baseball. It was very unfortunate that Mike Kelly never thought too much about him telling those funny stories. He didn't want Halsey to be wisecracking or anything. He just wanted a straight out and out broadcast.
Oh, boy, but that's what made Halsey on the air, this wonderful, wonderful wealth of stories. I'm going to take just a moment here to say that we're chatting with Charlie Johnson. And Charlie, of course, a longtime friend and associate of Halsey Hall, who passed away this afternoon, we're sad to tell you, at the age of 79. Charlie, when did Halsey begin to smoke cigars? He was never without that ever-present cigar. When did he adapt that trademark?
He smoked those cigars, I think when he was in the Navy.
It went way back to those days.
Yeah, he did.
Probably the same cigar.
It might have been, but he loved those cigars and always had a pocket full of them.
Yes,
know?
He did.
And you know, he had a great love for the stage because of his mother. And, you know, in the old days of when they had that vaudeville here at the old Orpheum Theater.
Yes.
Halsey never missed a show up there any week. They changed once a week. And, you know, he'd go up there to that show that once a week, and he had that hearty laugh.
Yes.
And the comics would get out there, and you know, he'd break up the show.
Oh, I can believe it.
Oh, he started laughing and so forth, and then the word went along among the actors that were coming in here, well, get that fellow over there on the paper, and get him up there, and he'll make your show.
Isn't that a wonderful story?
Yeah, it really was.
And what about those onions now, Charlie? Halsey used to come in and sit down beside me, and you knew that he was coming before he even got around the studio door. When did he start that fondness for onions?
Well, I'm sure it started. He had his own little garden, you know. And one of the things he prided himself, he and Sula prided themselves in, was the onions. And I think when they started building that garden, he bought a lot next to his house out there in St. Louis Park. And the first thing he did was start raising onions. And, you know, I don't remember him going for the onions until he went on the radio with the Twins.
I wonder if that helped his... he thought it helped his throat or something. I wonder if that might not have been a reason.
Well, he didn't help for Herb Carneal any on that press box.
See, joining in our laughter here, Charlie Johnson, is another Johnson, Raleigh Johnson of WCCO Television.
Oh, yes.
And, Raleigh, say hi to Charlie.
Hiya, Charles.
How you doing, Raul?
All right.
Where are you in Arizona?
Yeah, I'm up at Fountain Hills in Arizona.
Well, you're lucky to be there to stay.
I know. Where are you?
I'm right here in Minneapolis, but
well,
I won't be here long.
Say hello to Bert for us.
Same to Lou.
Yep.
Raleigh, I imagine you have a wealth of memories that you can share with Charlie and with all of us here concerning Halsey Hall.
Well, who are you talking with now, Bill?
Raleigh Johnson. I've got plenty of Johnsons on the line here.
Yeah, Raleigh.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure I do. I remember us starting in radio together at WCCO in 1934 when Halsey was doing the Minneapolis Millers games at Nicollet Park. And I got hired to do a little sports review. It was sponsored by the Glick Brewing Company in those days when you listened to the bottle say, Glick, Glick, Glick.
I remember those days.
Yeah. And then Halsey and I got into football broadcasting together with the Gophers that fall. And all I can tell you now, I guess, is God never made a sweeter man that I know of. And Charlie would probably agree.
That's right.
Yeah. He's one of all-time sweet people. I have some other extremely fond memories of him, if you still want me to keep yakking here, Bill.
Why, Raleigh, we'd be very unhappy if you didn't. We want to hear those stories. You bet we do, Raleigh. And Charlie will be joining in, too.
Well, this had to do with, and Charlie can embellish this a little bit, I'm sure, but it had to do with the Calvin Griffith moving his Washington Senators baseball club up to Minneapolis and St. Paul. And I had an opportunity to get down there when I heard about it in advance. I took my photographer, Joe Sullivan, sound on film man from CCO Television down there to talk to Calvin about making a sponsorship deal with WCCO Radio, TV, and the Ham Brewing Company. And we got down there, and Calvin was nice enough to make a recording in advance on our film, but asking me to hold it for 3 or 4 days until somebody, I don't know who, the league or somebody, made the announcement. And, of course, we honored that thing. But he said, say you got some good baseball broadcasters. I said, we've got the best baseball broadcaster in the world. Fella named Halsey Hall. Yes, Calvin says, I've heard of him, and I want to meet him the minute I get up there. And, of course, he did, and they met, and you know what the result was from there on. Just a super connection for both of them, I
certainly
might say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a funny thing, Bill, if I can break in there.
Sure, Charlie.
In 1948, when television was first coming into popularity, Halsey had a chance to go on television, and Gid Seymour, who was editor of the paper, and I had Halsey for an hour trying to convince him that he should make a fling at television.
Yeah.
And we said this, why don't you cover baseball for us for 6 months, and then do the rest of the 6 months on television? And, he was scared.
Yeah.
He was scared, and he never did accept the offer of going on television as hard as we tried to get him to do it.
Well, Charlie Halsey, Halsey made this remark to me, and you can either confirm it or deny it, because I'm not questioning, but Halsey said after Calvin got up here that Halsey had a few more months, I think it was, to go at the paper to earn his pension, full pension rights.
That's right.
And he needed to get absolved from those few months in order to go on radio and TV.
Mm-hmm.
And Halsey, I remember, said to me, Raleigh, gee, I appreciate it like everything, and he and Calvin were all ready to go, but he said, I don't know if Charlie Johnson is going to okay me or not.
Mm-hmm.
But if Charlie okays me, he said, so I don't lose my pension rights, then he said, I'm all in business. You must remember that, Charlie.
Oh, yeah, very well. Yes, I remember that. But the first thing he brought up, he said, well, what about my pension?
Yep.
And I said, well, I'll tell you, I think between Gid Seymour and a few of the rest of us, Bill Steve and the rest of us around here, we can take care of that, which we did.
I know.
It wasn't much at the time, I know that, but it was a pension.
It was a pension, and it was a great thing for baseball and a great thing for WCCO.
Yes,
and
it was.
A nice thing you did, Charlie, among about a dozen others I could think about.
That's right.
That you've done for people.